This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 273 on our way to 280. The weeks just keep flying by. Doesn't hardly seem possible that we are already up to July in this year. But, you know, time marches on. And it's kind of nice when you have something to mark time by. And so I mark the half-year point by having a book put out and ready to go. That's all puttering along. I've had a little bit of a cold thingy. I think I mentioned it last week. It has been getting better. So I think it's just a cold. Hopefully it's not allergies or anything like that, because if it is allergies, I know what to do to get rid of that. And while it is not the end of the world, it's a bit demanding because everything has to be raw for months. So we'll see. If I'm not over this in, I don't know, another week or so. Two weeks, we'll say 2 weeks instead of 1 week. If I'm not over this in 2 weeks or so, then may just do the raw thing for a while. But the book is in pretty good shape. Just doing a read through now. Pretty much got everything finished up in terms of covers and all that kind of stuff. I just have to finish up the read-through, get that done this weekend, lay it out, and then I'll actually order the beta copies. I think I'm up to 29 on the list, and then I have to set up the website so people can actually order them. Gonna touch my beta readers one more time and say, okay, last chance. If you're thinking about doing it, better act now, because I'm going to put this on Facebook and they'll probably be gone pretty quickly. So we'll see. I mean, even if I just go with 30, that's, you know, that'd be great. So I think I've got all my beta readers for that. And then I need to turn around and start writing the next one, because I need to be about, I should be about 40,000 words or so, at least 40,000 to 50,000 words into the next book by the time the beta readers get done with this book. Actually, 50,000 words would be good, because if I could do 50,000 words a month. Wait, no, wait, wait. 25,000 words a month. If I could do 25,000 words a month, which is about 6,500 a week, 6,500 words a week, then I could theoretically get the book done in 5 months as opposed to 6 months. We'll see. We'll see. I'm starting to get ideas and plot points. I think creativity is such an interesting thing. Just so interesting. I was talking to a buddy this morning about creativity and creative projects and that kind of thing, and I was remarking to him, you know, I am not an expert on PowerPoint, Photoshop, and I am not an expert on building these covers. I am not. I know that I'm just getting to the level of passable mediocrity. I know that. But it doesn't really matter. Because I derive such enjoyment from doing it, and I get better the more I do it, that as long as I achieve a level of passable mediocrity, it's great. And I've shown it. I've shown the cover to some people, and some of them go, "Wow, this is really cool." And so they can't really tell that I'm mediocre. So who cares? Such an interesting life with the expression of creativity, because all too often we use the excuse that, oh, I wouldn't be really good at that as a reason not to be creative. And that's a shame, because there's such joy in creativity and there's such fulfillment in creativity that to walk away from that simply because you aren't going to be a world's bestseller, you aren't going to write the next Harry Potter. Well, that's okay. It's okay. It's still worth the journey. So it's interesting. It's interesting. The read-through that I'm doing this time, I'm just pounding through it. You know, I'm just pounding through it, doing the last final touches. And so I'm not really enjoying, per se, it as much, but you know, there's still a lot of good stuff in it, and I'm happy with it. But like, there's a moment near the beginning of the book and I just like blew past it. I didn't feel anything when I was reading it, and of course the flesh and then is going to say, oh, see, it's not working, you broke something. But I didn't break anything. It was just that I was just really hurrying through it, because I didn't change that much stuff. So I just have a hard time believing that it changing one or two words is really going to break that. But it is going to be interesting to see how people react to that section. That is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see how people react to the book in general. We'll just see. This is going to be fun. Anyways, what else this week? Had some nice conversations with friends this week. The cats are weird at our house for some reason. I don't know why. I think we may have a cat that's suffering from, and I do not say this facetiously, might be suffering from post-traumatic disorder. One of our cats was out in the woods and apparently got into a tangle with a stray cat that was out there. We were outside and we heard one of our cats just caterwauling, and just so Annette went back there and this, you know, found our cat that was caterwauling. The cat was bleeding, had puncture marks on its leg, and we didn't know what it was at first, but she took her to the vet, took him to the vet. Toby is our gray tabby. And said, yeah, it was probably another cat, and got some shots for it, blah, blah, blah. But the day after that, our other cat was a little weird around it, and they finally kind of got to be friends again. And we don't know what happened last night. Sometime around 5 in the morning, they took into each other. I mean, and they were just fighting tooth and claw with each other. So Nett went out to break them up. And so I non-facetiously said to Nett, you know, I just wonder if Toby hasn't been traumatized, and so anything now for a little bit is just going to set him off. So it's interesting. In topics this week, I mentioned last week that I have a whole bunch of topics stacked up, and I do. They are all kind of concerning the same thing, and it's kind of the whole same thing is how women relate to existence. Because there's been quite a lot of very interesting things come out in the media since, I'll call him the wacko because I can't remember what his name was, the kid that murdered a bunch of people and they had the tirades against women, apparently really expected that he was just going to like walk over to a sorority house and they were going to pay him some attention, and if they didn't, then, you know, that was going to be the end of it. He was going to give them one last chance to treat him right. Oh, man. Buddy. And so there's been several articles all tangentially related to this idea of,
excuse me,
women in this world and their experiences in this world. And honestly, some very eye-opening stuff. But I'll have to tell you, I was going to talk about it this week, and I chickened out. Last night, I fast on Wednesdays. Last night, it was, it was a little later when I was getting ready to do the notes on the podcast. And I was a little more tired. And I was looking at it, and I thought, you know, I don't know that I'm mentally prepared yet to talk about this, because I do want to speak well of it. But it is truly fascinating. It is truly fascinating. So instead of talking about that this week, I thought I'd talk about another article, which was interesting as well, although not extraordinarily interesting, but interesting. And it, in fact, when I start extrapolating about where are we going to be as a society in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years, sociologically, with all of the things that are occurring, you know, how does this article act as a predictor? Sorry, I just yawned again. Act as a predictor for where we will be. And the article was called Naked Confessions of the College Bound. It was by Frank Bruni or Brunei. Brunei, something, I don't know. And he was talking about college entrance submissions, and specifically about the essays that go along with those. Because as you know, probably, there is a great deal of effort that is put into submitting the entrance requirements in the higher level colleges. And he started recounting some of the things that students, prospective students, had put on their entrance paperwork. And it is a very interesting trajectory that we are on at this point, in terms of what people are willing to share with others if they think that it might be advantageous to them to get into these colleges. He started off talking about a Yale applicant and how she had, you know, fantastic grades. And one of the admissions officers is leafing through her application, and he's just getting more and more impressed. And then he gets to her essay, and she mentions in her essay a French teacher that she greatly admired. And she mentioned how they were having a one-on-one conversation at the end of the school day. And then she added the detail that during their talk, they were having a very engaging talk, and she had the urge to go to the bathroom and when that urge to go to the bathroom could no longer be denied, that she decided not to interrupt her teacher or exit the room, so she simply just urinated on herself. And she put this on her college entrance paperwork. the writer of the article was saying that her point that she was trying to make was that she wasn't going to pull herself away from an intellectually stimulating conversation just to meet a physical need. So that's what she was trying to show. But somewhere along the way, in this young lady's upbringing, standing there and peeing on herself, in her mind, shows how dedicated she is. It doesn't show that she... Yeah. Can you imagine having a conversation with somebody and suddenly smelling that distinctive aroma of urine and seeing this puddle form on the floor and this person still engaging in a conversation with you? I dare say there wouldn't be many of us who looked at that person and thought, wow, you're really dedicated to this topic. We might look at that person and wonder, give them the benefit of the doubt, and wonder whether they had a medical condition or whether they had had, an operation that left them with a bag that needed to be emptied and they simply hadn't got it emptied. But to have someone standing in front of you who is in perfectly good health, who simply doesn't want to pull away from their conversation, and so instead of that, urinates on themselves. I don't think that under normal circumstances would be thought of by too many people as an amazing display of intellectual intensity. However, what the writer of the article thinks is happening is that we're really, as he puts it, in this warped wonderland where too many kids attach such a crazy degree of importance into getting into the most selective schools that they do, quote, stagey, desperate, disturbing things to stand out. The essay portion of their applications can be especially jolting illustrations of that. In addition to that as well, which I also think is a big factor, which begins to get into this idea of where are we actually going to be as a society in 10, 20, 30, 40 years. The author talks about the runaway candor and uncensored revelation, especially about tribulations endured and hardships to come among kids who have grown up in an era of overshare. The essay is where our admissions of frenzy and our gratuitously confessional ethos meet. So you got kids that are really desperate to make a good impression, but what is feeding behind them is this idea of, obviously you're going to be interested in every portion of my life because that's what I share about myself on Facebook and Twitter. And you're really interested in knowing the fact that I am so dedicated, I'm willing to pee on myself. And the fact that some do not understand that, I'm really not that interested in hearing about the fact that you peed on yourself. that puts us in a very interesting place as a society. And the only thing that might rein it in temporarily, one moment, getting my mail, the only thing that might rein it in temporarily might be the fact that you do have older generations and other people that are looking at them and saying, what are you talking about that for? You know, there's pushback, but as the generations continue, and as we march down this path of believing that we really need to... Oh, just a second. Hold it. I got my friend out here. How's it going, sir?
Just trying to make the neighborhood a little more pretty.
Oh, you know, you do a great job of that. Unlike me, who just lets everything go to seed.
I love it.
I'm glad, because the people who had that house before you, they did not love it. In fact, they wanted, the wife specifically, she really preferred if I just cut down a bunch of the trees and kept it all mowed. And I
love this.
It's a good break, you know. Yeah, looks like you're backed up in the woods here. Have a good day, sir. But anyways, the projection of where we will be if we continue down this path of people believing that it's important to take pictures of the food they're eating. That's important. For people to know that they're watching this TV show, or that they've read this book, or that they've, you know, have gone here and done this. It really is interesting, because I think it engenders this idea that the world revolves, I'm backing into my garage, that the universe really revolves around what I'm doing, and look how important it is what I'm doing. And so I can see how that would play out, and that would cause kids, when they're in this high stress situation of trying to impress somebody, to put stuff in these essays that you just look at them like, what? There was another one the admissions officer remembered another one coming from Yale from a male student. Quote, he wrote about his genitalia and how he was underendowed. He was going for something about masculinity and manhood and how he had to get over certain things. I mean, can you imagine on your essay, it's like, yeah, I don't have very big genitalia, but that makes me drive harder in life. It's like, oh, man. You know, someone else had shared about the fact that they had cyclical vomiting syndrome. Okay. It goes on. Another one actually described himself as one of the world's greatest Casanovas and said that his amazing looks inspired envy in other boys and competitions among girls vying for his affection. So, what makes this so fascinating to me is that these aren't goofballs that are sharing this information. These are some of the top students that we have in the United States. These are top flight students who are trying to get into these very prestigious schools. And this is what they're writing on their essays. And I think part of what is driving this is exactly what the guy in the article said. It's that we have engendered this societal norm of just everyone sharing and everyone believing that all the things they're sharing, that someone else really wants to hear about them. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this leads us in 20, 30, 40 years, if this keeps up. I am looking forward to the future. It's going to be so fascinating, because if I live into my mid-90s, which is not an unreasonable expectation, if I live into my mid-90s, I'm going to be around for another four decades. And I just cannot imagine the societal changes that are going to occur in these next four decades. It is going to be fascinating. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.